everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. Episode 43 is the number of the episode you're listening to. Thank you for downloading or clicking play on metanorn.net or .com, however you get to Metanorn, search engine, iTunes, whatever. Thank you so much. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
Skyline.
Hello, everybody.
And Hoshi is here.
Hello.
It's been a very long time since we've heard Hoshi's voice on
Metanorn. I've been busy, I guess.
Yeah, but it's great to have you on. It's great to have somebody different. You know, I've always pulled from the male side of Metanorn very recently.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be joining us to talk about the spring 2014 anime season. Pretty much all of the shows have concluded. I think there's a couple that we're still waiting for finales for. I believe Black Bullet has yet to end. Are there any other shows that I'm blanking on at the moment?
I think City Actors also ends tonight as we're recording this.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I should just go ahead and mention we are recording on June 28th.
And Star Demo, that also ends tonight too.
Yeah, I did watch that earlier. I'll talk a little bit about that. So do beware of spoilers for all of these shows that we're going to be talking about. I even say that to my co-host here, just in case you're not caught up. So let's talk about some news here. We start with High School DxD getting a Season 3 announcement. That's been great considering like guys like Highway who blogged Season 2. We saw how much better the show got in Season 2. So good to see that Blu-ray sales are decent for DxD and that Season 3 will be made.
It's kind of funny when it comes out, like Season 3, because I just finished watching both seasons with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was talking about, I hope this is a Season 3 coming out, and like 2 days later, Season 3 announced. Like, All right, that's good.
Moving on, Mushishi will be returning in the Fall 14 season. That was confirmed at the end of Episode 10. Some production issues kind of got in the way of Mushishi Zokusho being a 12-episode series as we were initially expecting, but on August 20th, there's going to be an hour special that'll air that technically counts as episodes 11 and 12, and then we'll be back for another season of Zokusho, which is good because it was another great season of great stories with Ginko traveling through ancient Japan and what the Mushi can do and how they can wreck people's lives. Assassination Classroom, or known as Ansatsu Kyoshitsu, the anime has been announced. There was a Jump Festa special that came out at the end of 2013, so it's good to see that the manga that I've enjoyed reading has been really fun has been announced. We know that Studio Lurch has been involved, is going to be the production studio in charge. They've done things like Danganronpa, Majikoi, and Seiji Kishi will be doing the directing of the series, so I'm a little, honestly, a bit concerned about that directing choice and the studio choice, but it's Assassination Classroom, and I've enjoyed it, and Koro-sensei is a great lead character, so I'm looking forward to it. Psycho Pass 2, the anime is going to be airing in the fall, and the scripts are going to be overseen by Toe Ubukata, who apparently will be taking that over from Urobuchi Gen, who we know worked on the first one, and he was inspired by the movie Equilibrium to make Psycho Pass, so it's pretty interesting. But about Toe Ubukata, he was the creator of MARTOK Scramble, which the first movie was pretty good, and then the series kind of went south, in my opinion, by the second and third movies. He was the writer for some of the Fafnir shows, and also Ghost in the Shell Arise, which I like those first two episodes of what I've seen of that so far, so it's something to keep an eye on as, you know, we see the new edit in summer and the sequel in upcoming movie after that. Knights of Cydonia. We saw after the end of this season, I believe, that season 2 is announced. So for people that like the CG series by Polygon Pictures, that's it to look forward to. And Netflix will be airing the dub on July 4th. So do look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Johnny Bosch is going to be in it. I haven't heard him in anything in like a long time, so it's good to hear him do something again.
This is kind of crazy to say, but, you know, I got mine via Underwater. Did that show stream anywhere? Like Hulu or Funimation or Crunchyroll? I don't think it did.
It did.
No.
Yeah, not on a major website.
It was always going to be on Netflix. They just had to run into some issues, so they got delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the point? Mm-hmm. That is actually really neat because, I mean, that is a much wider audience, and you can you know, do connections to various other series and bring people on board who might have never wanted to give anime a try.
Yeah, right. That's so true.
And for people that know how Netflix releases shows, they release them all at once, so all 12 episodes will be available. And on the July 4th weekend, it's a good time to just marathon it.
Because like Kevin Spacey said for House of Cards, people like to binge watch.
And a couple more stories here about movies. The final Ghost in the Shell Rise movie will air September 6th in theaters, so that's good to know that the 4-episode series won't take an eternity to air, and it'll be ending soon. And Ars Nova Arpeggio of Blue Steel will be getting 2 anime films, the first being a series recap, and the second being a brand new story. Not sure if whether it's a manga story or an original story. Remains to be seen, I guess.
Right, yeah, same here.
Alright, so now it is time for our discussion as we talk about Spring 2014 in review. As I mentioned, pretty much all of the shows for Spring have ended. There's at least 6 or so carryovers that I can think of, including Captain Earth and Mahoka. We won't be talking about those shows, but we'll be talking about at least what's ended in this series. So, let's start off positive by talking about our favorite series. We'll start with Hoshi. Of the Spring shows, what was your favorite?
Definitely Haikyuu. Like, I haven't been so excited to watch an anime in a long time. Like anxiously, like, waiting for a new episode. And I think it's the characters, because they're really likable and everybody's different and interesting, and I don't know. They're all so cute. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, I really liked Hinata in the first episode, and I thought that was a big part of my interest in the show, is that there was a good main character, and that he had some skill, and it's been really interesting to see him and the others sort of grow as a volleyball team and establish their sort of friendships with each other, and also how that affects their on-the-court play.
Yeah, definitely.
Skyline, your favorite series?
I am picking No Game, No Life, because it's just thoroughly awesome. You know, there's a school of thought when you write characters that they have to go through their ups, and then they have to go through their downs. They have to taste defeat to be able to come back from it. Not so with Blank. They win every single darn time, and you love them for it, even if it is outrageous. You know, the more outrageous it is, the better. And so it's just one of those things where you can kind of pump your fist, go, heck yeah, keep going, and enjoy every single second of it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like having overpowered main characters.
Well, they're not too... I mean, they're not terribly, terribly overpowered. They do have their weaknesses, and I do think at some given point they might be even more exploited than they already have been in some cases. But, just enjoyed it to bits. It's very colorful, too, isn't it?
Yeah, for that was it. The outstanding moments of that show would be the games they play. Like when they played Shatari with Ghibli. That was amazing. Just how they animated
that. That was the best one of the bunch when you get right down to it. Funny, interesting, creative. And whoever thought that someone would use an intrinsic force of physics to defeat basically a god-killing angel.
Hydrogen bomb right off the bat. You just go
just as a test. Just as a test. I'm going to use a hydrogen bomb just to test you. You know, wow.
That was good. And I like the shooting game at the end with Azuna, the little fox girl. That was pretty cool. They did that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very creative, like FPS type of game.
Yeah, that was. And FPS bullets and stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fosh, how about your favorite?
For mine, you know, I was going to do No Game Life, but, you know, it's, for me, it's Spectre Infected Whipped Across. Now, you know, at the cover of this show, it looks like it's a oh, it's a card battle show. It's nothing really going to be dramatic inside of that. But, it, you know, I guess as you get know this, some of these characters and they battle, they get pulled in this game that it's kind of an endless cycle. A little bit of a, like a wish, you know, the price they pay for the wishes is just... When they reveal it, it's pretty shocking. I won't really talk about it because I think people should watch it. You know, a lot of people kind of, I think, overlooked it as this, you know, Moe slice of life card show. And I was like, it's far from that. I mean, you see this girl just go through a lot of heartache and pain, just the cost of their wish they want. And like I said, it's an endless cycle. Like, once they get pulled in this little card game, they can't really get out. There's no, I mean, they could quit playing, but, you know, eventually they have to play sometime. Or someone's going to find them and play against them. But yeah, when they revealed the big secret, the wishes, and just the world building on that was pretty interesting. And it does get dark quite fast. So, you know, that's why I'd say with that, Wicross caught me off guard in the season.
Yeah, the first episode, I was already kind of like, this is kind of creepy. Like, the whole dream sequence and all that. And everybody thinks it's like, oh, it's like a Madoka ripoff kind of thing. And I'm like, no, it has its own little interest, like, unique, well, like, interesting points about it.
Right, yeah, I've seen that heavily compared a lot with all with everything in the show, especially the wish. And like, in my experience with the wishes in anime, there's always a price. It's never a, you know, it's too good to be true for me with wishes anyway.
Yeah.
So you gotta give something up. I mean, it's not all gonna be, you know, perfect. But yeah, they're getting another season, and I'm happy about that. Especially the way things ended, kind of left me quite shocked how things, you know, at the very end. But yeah.
And that's confirmed for fall?
I think fall, yeah.
That is indeed confirmed for fall. See you there.
Yep.
Sky, do you have any thoughts as you covered it?
Oh my goodness, I did. I did 12 weeks worth of thoughts. Why would I want to overdo it now?
All right.
Other than saying, good choice, Fosh.
Yeah.
All right, and as for my favorite, I have to go with Ping Pong the Animation. I was really impressed by what I saw here and surprised at how the series turned out. When you think about what sports anime are, we talked about what Haikyuu is, Baby Steps also. Ping Pong is the least sports anime of the sports anime here, as it is very much more about the characters. And what was interesting about the character development in the series is how the main character kind of changed at some point, where we started following Smile, who's not a very motivated guy, but he's very good at what he does in Ping Pong. And then we go to Pekko, his friend, who became the main character and the focal point by the end of the series. And there was a excellent moment of transition, I thought, in episode 6, which I thought was one of my favorite episodes of anime this year, where China, who had been thoroughly defeated by Kazuma, was sort of finding a new fit stage in his life and sort of rediscovering himself. And there was this karaoke song that he sang where there was a montage of seeing where everybody was at in their lives. And then there was a scene with Pekko on the bridge with Akuma, which was really great. I watched that episode multiple times. I thought it was really good. And Masaki Yuasa's style really bleeds through here with the animation. It's not pretty. It's not anywhere near as pretty as all of the other shows we're going to be talking about, but it worked, it was effective, it was stylish, and I just really enjoyed Ping Pong a lot. So now we move on to our characters from this season, favorite male and female. We'll go back to Hoshi here.
Female, I have to say Yuzuki from Selector Infected, because even though her wish thing was kind of, you know, a little abnormal, I still felt like I wanted to cheer her on. I'm like, yeah, you go, you know, get your brother as your boyfriend. Like, I was like, I liked her. How do you say?
Obviously, goal oriented. Yeah, very.
Yeah, like not independent, but yeah, very dependent. And then I felt kind of sorry for her and all this stuff. Like, at first I was like, it's kind of weird that, you know, you're in love with your brother. It's a little much. But then the more you see how like painful it is for her, that, you know, for her it's like a very big taboo thing, and I'm like, oh, hope you get your wish, you know, like I was just sitting there, like cheering her on, like if like fell in love, like go go go.
And how about male?
Male? It's tough. Like
there's not as many choices. There are some.
Yeah. I probably like all the guys in Haikyuu. Like everybody's so like quirky and interesting on their own little characteristics, and like Hinata's so like positive, and then there's Kageyama who's like ugh. I like everything, but then he's kind of, he actually cares for Hinata a little bit. Like they work together and it's so great. But
yeah, he's very soon.
Yes.
Skyline, your favorite characters?
Favorite female is Chaika Trabant. You have to love the start of that adventure. She's just scrambling around the mountain trying to find her way, and she just charms her way without even halfway knowing it into the heart of a cold-blooded saboteur. Well, a lazy-blooded saboteur just looking for something to do. But
killer unicorn.
Being chased by a killer unicorn, of course, because it's anime, and that does happen. It happens more frequently than you can possibly imagine. Right. Because, you know, the people that die by killer unicorn, they're not telling us. So, you know, this is one of the people that survived. Yeah, Chaika Trabant, best female character, because she's Chaika like that.
And then on the opposite sex?
I'm going to cheat and just say blank.
That's what you did there.
Because, you know, that could be favorite female character with male attached or favorite male character with female attached. And since I already used female for Chaika, I've got to use blank. And again, for all the awesome reasons, as I said in, you know, favorite show of the season. Together, they cannot be defeated.
That's true. For me, favorite female, I went with Saki from One Week Friends. And she's a secondary character, not really the main. So, I don't know, she caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting a character like her to show up, which is kind of a lazy character, especially how she talks. She's very slow. Yeah, she forgets things, not as much as the main girl, but yeah, Saki just, you know, she comes out of nowhere and just surprises you. She's like this shy, quiet girl that I wasn't really looking towards at all, and then she pops up and just kind of steals the show for me. I don't know, just like,
you know, she's almost like she's almost like the girl from Watamote if she gave herself a chance.
True. Yeah. And Mel went with, Tanikaze from The Knights of Cydonia. And I went with him because, like, episode one, you see how much of physical abuse that guy takes. It's amazing he survives, you know, 12 episodes fighting aliens in space. And, yeah, I picked him because he goes through a lot physically and emotionally. I mean, he sees friends die left and right. He gets even close to a girl that you can kind of feel this romance between them. She ends up, you know, not really dying, but being taken over by the aliens. So it's like, you know, that's kind of more emotional damage for him. And yeah, he just goes through a lot in that series. And even though he's the main character, which makes him kind of technically untouchable by the aliens at least, he goes through a lot, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's probably why I liked him. He felt more human. I mean, he was compared against everyone else, but you know, he's someone you can relate to easily.
Yeah. As for my favorite characters, my female characters changed from where we started. I would have said Nikkei, but as I watched more of No Game, No Life, I really liked Jibril.
I thought that yes.
She was the most entertaining character of the bunch for me and the most enjoyable to watch. And I think part of it plays in that Stephanie is such a non-factor most of the time. Like, as we saw in the episode, she doesn't do well on her own. She kind of needs Sora and Chihiro to kind of direct her to do stuff or order her to do stuff, whereas Jibril is very great and can handle her own. And I really just enjoyed her watching her, like, you know, go, master, I'll do anything for master, and then be cool. And then as for the male character, I enjoyed Toru Akira from Itsugi no Chaika. I really enjoyed his role and his battles and stuff. He was a pretty good character.
Yeah, I'll say he's a bit of a badass. Especially in the later half where he has to fight his sister. Those fights, just like, he's just getting the shit kicked out of him. You know, you get thrown off like a bridge and like stabbed a few times. Like, jeez, this guy.
Yeah, and how he was for that series. Like, there was a little thing where they were playing around with the idea that in his head he fantasizes about being with Taika.
The episode.
But for the most part, he was a pretty straightforward guy, you know, just doing his job as a saboteur.
Yep.
All right, so now we move on to surprises of the season. Any series here that actually surprised us? I'll go ahead and get this one started. With Falcon Mundo Riddle, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed that show. It did not have a great first episode, but by the second episode, when they introduced the details about what the curses entailed with Haru and Tokaku, the series really started to get more interesting as we started to go episode by episode, spending time with these other assassins that were going after Haru and learning their stories and watching their battles and stuff. It was a really great soundtrack, and it, for the most part, it was a pretty good story up until the end. That's the part where I felt that Diomedia did not do a good job writing a anime original ending. Some of the stuff didn't make sense to me about how happy it was. I was disappointed in that, but elsewise, I enjoyed Alchemy and Riddle. I thought it was a good show, and deserves a little more respect than I thought it got this season.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with that. I mean, it was like I said, a surprise, but for me, it was like the last episode just kind of just, for me, ruins the entire series. It's like I was kind of invested in watching these girls, you know, it's kind of dumb watching them just, you know, kill each other. That's what I was really, you know, watching the show for. And that, you know, doesn't really, through some events, doesn't really happen. So it's like,
yeah,
kind of disappointing, like you were saying, with the last episode. I mean, I feel if they didn't even have that last episode, it would have been a better series.
And by episode 11, they had an interesting idea about the primer and all of the post-game stuff. But then they kind of flubbed it by episode 12. And I think there might have been something about the fact that on my anime list, I had always seen 13 episodes. And then it went down to 12. And we now know that there's going to be an episode that's included with a Blu-ray. So I don't know if there's anything to that that might have affected the crafting of the ending to the anime. Possible or not. I don't know. Fosh, what was your surprise?
I'm going to go with Haikyuu, because for me, I don't really watch sports. I mean, that's something I generally, you know, kind of overlook, because for me, my experience with sports is usually the same thing. Underdog character who doesn't know how to play joins a team and he becomes a good player and, you know, friendships are made and all that. And that's typically the sports, you know, kind of cliche, but Haikyuu has so many characters going, you know, each of them have a goal. Each of them have a reason to be on this team, and you even people that have left the team, you know, get pulled back into the team because of certain characters. But you know, seeing them trying their best makes them want, well, you know, I could do that too. And like Hinata, he's like a short guy, so he has to try, you know, twice as hard as everyone else, because volleyball, I mean, I watched my sister play it, it's typically geared towards people that are really tall. If you're kind of short, you're kind of handicapped, basically. And Hinata just shows that as, like, it's not going to stop him. He's just going to keep doing what he wants to do. And that was kind of cool. I mean, and again, like, I usually don't do sports or, you know, not really interested in that. But something about it just kind of pulled me in. It keeps me watching every week.
Yeah, all that stuff about Little Giant and him kind of having to learn the basics of the game. There's always something for these sports character heroine. Are heroes that they kind of have to overcome, like short size, or they don't have that strength like Asahi has as the ace, or the size like Tsukishima
right,
as
and,
a blocker.
And with volleyball, it's a very team sport, so it's like everyone has to kind of contribute and help out. It's not like baby steps where it's tennis, and it's one person versus one person. I mean, you know, you can do doubles, but for right now, it's just one-on-one. But yeah, Haikyuu was a big surprise for me.
Hoshi, how about your surprise from this season?
Actually, Selector Infected, because sorry to compare it to Madoka, but whenever when I watched Madoka, I was like, this is going to be, you know, just moe, you know, whatever. And then with Selector Infected, it was the same thing. I was like, oh, this is going to be, I bet you it's going to be kind of lame. And then the more I watched it, it got dark, like, really fast with the characters. And I was like, okay, like, did not expect that. And there was just a lot of, like, it just got darker and darker. And the darker it got, I was like, I got to watch more of this. Like, this is great. Like, sounds kind of, I guess, I don't know, weird, but, like, I love it when it got, like all these characters were, like, in despair kind of thing. Like, everybody's just totally, like, mm-hmm. like, oh, no, and I just loved it. I don't know why.
You like when characters suffer.
I do, especially since they're cute-looking girls. I'm like, oh, they're going to suffer. It's going to be so great. It's totally different from their usual, like, appearance.
Especially when they introduce Akira, that idol girl. That's yeah. when stuff starts getting real dark. You're like, oh, wow, this girl.
Yeah.
She's hardcore about this game.
She was just so mean and nasty. I was like, I like this.
What did you think about more or less the show resetting its goalposts every other episode? Just like, you know, a new rule or a new development would just, you know, expand and broaden everything and made you think about the parameters of the game more.
That was interesting. I don't know, like, I don't know how to say about that.
I think I like listening to Rei Kugami just be this evil, like, little evil character. Her voice was just, I don't know, it's very weird hearing her in, like, an evil, kind of a mean role. And I like that.
Does she play one of the players or one of the cards?
One of the cards.
One of the cards.
But her personality is just, like, evil. She just wants to win at any cost. She doesn't care what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does straight up Tsun so very, very well. It was interesting to hear her just turn that into total and complete just vile contempt for everything around her.
Yep. And for the longest time, I was suspecting the grandma. I'm like, grandma has to be involved in this game somewhere. I'm like, she created the game.
Yeah.
She has to. I'll stick it the entire time, you know.
Wixos is spreading.
Yeah. It's more to go, but yeah.
I have to admit that when I watched the first two episodes, I dropped it thinking, oh, this is so derivative of Madoka Magica. But then I realized, after a while, after people talking about how interesting it was, it's like, I like Madoka Magica. Why wouldn't I like anime like Madoka Magica? It's kind of a weird thing with me.
True.
Skyline, how about your surprise of the season?
Surprise of the season was Knights of Sidonia. I thought the first two episodes were utter and complete terrible. Animation on it was terrible. It hadn't caught up yet, and it didn't look like they had enough budget to try to bring that to bear, which I was, of course, wrong, because it started being much more smooth, much more on model as the episodes went on. The characterization, some of the weird science fiction, I was just so completely turned off by. But by the third episode, got really, really good. And even though I'm shameful in not remembering the names of most, if not all, the characters, all their actions were just burned in so very well. The fights were tight. It was. If there's one objection I have about it, it's almost seems, or maybe this is a good point to it, don't know, but how they would go through the battles and on the board in the CIC, how, you know, they'd have an entire wing of frames, and all of a sudden, all those pilots' faces would just be X'd out, like 15 of them at a time, gone. And you're like, you can't really calculate that, but at the same time, it takes a little bit of immersion into the episode to be able to fully take that on. Plus, the one girl that died. I can't remember her name now.
This was early in the series?
Yeah, about midpoint in the series. She came back as the placenta being that they're keeping up and observing. And she was also in the one frame that was basically their aggressor during the last two episodes.
Pink hair?
No, she has black hair.
No, black hair.
Okay.
Yeah, black hair.
I think it's Benny Zume. I think that's the name you're looking for.
Yeah.
Hoshijiro. Yeah, that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hoshijiro. That's the one that was in the room. But I'm wondering about the ending, because they don't really show her in that room anymore, so I think she got out.
I don't think they show her in that room, but they do show that she wrote his name down in Steam and all that.
Right.
And you know, she kind of blew on the glass and then wrote his kanji characters down and all that. So, I'm anxious to see that second series.
Yeah, the second half should be good.
our next point for discussion is about series that let us down. Is there any series that we were kind of liking, but by the end we were disappointed? Fosh?
I would probably go with Mikaku City Actors. You know, going into this, I've never seen the music videos. I don't know the light novel, and I haven't read the manga or anything like that. But just, you know, it's Shaft. You know, you would think, you know, they could handle this, right? I just think they bit off so much, way more than they could chew. They picked something that has a huge fan base to begin with in the very start, and you know, from what I heard from the fans that are very big fans of the series, Shaft kind of just screwed it all up. They skipped a lot of things, left things out. Animation was kind of lazy looking on some stuff, and it's almost like Shaft gave it to their D teams, like, here, you guys take care of this. And I don't know, I just think the story was just all over the place. It didn't really start picking up till about like the last four episodes, when they actually started pumping the story of what happened to some of the main characters and how they all of them are connected. But yeah, I don't know, I just think Shaft could have done a better job with that.
And even then, after watching the last episode tonight, I was going, what did I just watch? Yep. Did I zone out during half of this?
Yeah, I haven't seen the final, but I mean, I'm not really holding my breath for anything amazing. But yeah, I think general consensus on this series is it's all over the place, it's messy, it's not well put together, and Shaft, you know, kind of bombed on that one, I guess. Yep.
I was thinking at the beginning of the season when I watched it, wondering if Shaft is only as good as the source material it adapts from, and whereas I think the Monogatari series is pretty good, there's been some other stuff where it hasn't been so good, and I was kind of concerned about City Actors coming in.
Yeah, and with City Actors, the weird thing is, even the original creator of that series worked on it with them. So you would think, you know, the original creator, okay, this is going to be good, but something happened, I guess, maybe, you know, some scripts, they didn't see eye to eye on things, and it changed some things, but...
Probably.
But yeah, I mean, I guess if they wanted to bring new fans into it, this may have been like a bridge to get people into it. I mean, if that was our goal, maybe. I don't know.
Hoshi, was there any series that let you down this season?
I have to say Akuma no Riddle. Like, it sounded really interesting. I was like, oh yeah, this sounds, I can get into this, but I ended up dropping it because to me it just seemed repetitive, like, oh, we're gonna kill this girl and we're just gonna have every assassin every episode, like, kill this girl. I think I dropped it like episode 5. I don't remember, but I was like, this is gonna be too repetitive. And then I didn't really like Haru's and what's her
Tokaku.
Name? Yeah, Takaku's relationship. To me, it just kind of like came out of nowhere. Like, oh, I'm gonna protect this chick. Here we go. And just it kind of annoyed me. And then her was it teacher?
Yeah.
Seemed pretty annoying for me as well. I just couldn't get why he was there, at least where I was at. I don't know if they explained it more, but...
Well, having seen the whole series, there's nothing explained of him.
That's
messed up. But I will say, after that point, they do some small things to change up the formula of how the battles go about, which maybe might not have been enough for you, but for me, watching it, I was like, okay, good, they're doing things differently.
That's good.
Assassination notice, they would have two at a time or something, or do one. There was one episode specifically where they were at the pool and everybody was a party to this assassination attempt.
I'm disappointed on that series that Haru wasn't revealed as like this badass assassin. I was like, I was waiting for that to be revealed. I'm like, Haru's gotta be an assassin.
Yeah,
she talks in third person. Like, something's wrong with her, come on.
I thought there would be something more to the fact that she couldn't be killed, and that, you know, what happened with her clan, her family.
Because, like, the scars on her body, I'm like, she's got to have seen some combat, or some form of fighting. So it's like, I was waiting for that reveal to be that the split personality is just another person that just covers for Haru. That way she, you know, can blend in with everyone else. And at the end, she's the actual, you know, best assassin. But yeah, they didn't do that. I was kind of disappointed.
Skyline, what disappointed you? What let you down?
Black Bullet.
Yeah, I knew you can go with that.
Yeah. Do what?
I saved it for you. I was like, yeah, you can get Black Bullet.
Oh, goodness gracious. After 4 months of covering that, wow. It's just, I mean, incredibly, incredibly rushed, uneven, bad characterizations to worse characterizations. Too many broad strokes, too many broad everything. I mean, it doesn't really feel like, it really felt like you had to put yourself in there to be able to create a story out of everything they did. It was just, you know, oh, the cursed children, they're oppressed. Okay. And then they get killed. It's just, you know, it was too big. It was played too arch. I read some of the source material on the LNs that were available in the manga. And, there's a lot going on there. There's some side stories that actually they build and develop on with some additional cursed children that aren't necessarily cut out to be initiators. And I always thought that, wow, you know, going through that you know, they could have put their ending point at like maybe the fourth episode or so, and use the rest of that time to fill in everything else. But it was just way too much of a rushed adaptation.
Was there a turning point in the anime where you started to not like it? Because I think of what I saw, a lot of people were enjoying it early on.
Probably by the end of the fifth episode, that was the Tina Sprout arc. Mm-hmm. That was just, I mean, it was so, I mean, it was written by the word jumble, the magnetic word jumble on the refrigerator, you know, just, you know, punch clock villains to just total complete bomb villains to just idiocy. Ugh. Bad series.
Yeah, I was kind of wishing that the mask guy was the main character in that. He's like the most interesting character of the series.
Heck, anything.
Yeah, and his little
anything
initiator.
Would have helped. I mean, because they do have several points to where they do explore his story in the LN, and that would have been great. That would have been great to pull that up to give it some tension. You know, the entire ending of the Tina Sprout arc was, she lives with Ren and Enju. Mm-hmm. In the LN, they had it start off at that point. And then it made the point to where, oh, what are you doing trying to assassinate Kisara? Weren't you living with us and all that? It made him much more impactful. And then she still ended up living with him. So it was like, wow, you just got this so bass-ackwards, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah. But the only thing I'll say I liked about Black Bullet was the fact that Rintaro, you know, Yuki Kaji character, actually rips his arm off and uses it as a bullet. That was the best. I don't know why, it just made me laugh so freaking hard. Because, you know, this character's always, you know, hurting his arms. Like, he actually rips his arm off, uses a bullet. Like, oh my god. I couldn't stop laughing at that moment.
His agent must, like, have feelers out to every single, you know, mangaka and LN writer out there. Just like, if you ever, ever have a character that has to go through grievous limb harm.
Exactly.
Give us a call, okay? Give us a call. Then, you know, I'll put his name forward and all that. He must be in love with that by now.
He's either loving it or hating it. One of the two.
He probably started off loving it. He's probably hating it by now.
Probably.
All right.
And as for my disappointment show, this might be a subject of controversy, is Bokura wa Mina Kawaiso. I was looking forward to a good rom-com series, and the thing that I didn't like about it was pretty much all the characters. I was really disappointed in how non-humorous it was, and how even more frustrating than a show like Nisekoi it was for me. Whereas I think Nisekoi was a little bit more of an enjoyable show. I think the characters not being as enjoyable in that part really messed it up for me. Like, seriously, Mayumi's going to interrupt every single thing that happens in the series. It starts to wane on me as I got through the series, and I was looking forward to it more being done just to see the end game, other than being, well, boy, I hope this gets a season 2 or it continues, because I don't think I'll be watching. And it especially hit in that last episode when Ritsu was talking about sort of having friends and not dealing with friends, and it just seemed like she just accepted, well, I guess I'm forgetting the exact words, but she was talking about not fitting in with the bunch, and I was like, well, if you realize that and you're going to be that way, then I guess just be that way. I thought that really bothered me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That Miyumi does have the habit of, kind of interrupting everything. It's almost like if she wasn't in the series, maybe they could progress. She's almost like the stopping thing that's blocking them from doing anything. You know, there's no...
Actually happens in real life. If you've ever lived in a mixed house with bunches of different people, it does happen. You have that person that just cannot help but open their mouth and just shut down the conversation completely. But right. At least with her, they gave her at least some sort of sass, some sort of humor in some areas and all that. But I agree with J-Ro. They played her card a little bit too much at points.
Yeah, definitely.
And then also Sayaka and Shiro? Is that the S guy's name?
Yeah, Shiro.
Or the M. Yeah, I thought they were unnecessary for the most part. I even thought Sayaka's episode with her hick friend was mostly unnecessary to the series. But there was a couple good episodes, like the thing with the centipede and stuff. But elsewise, I think I may have seen the last episode of Boku no Amina, if there is to be more.
Yep.
Now, before we move on to our last point here, I just want to make sure we talk about all the shows here. Let me see if there's anything that we've missed in discussion. Brunhilde in the Darkness. It was funny to watch Smiley blog that as it got worse and worse, I guess.
Yeah, you can slowly see the decline. He's liking it, and he you can see it where it's going down every week. The comments on the posts.
With Brunhilde and something like Kanojo Got Flag, it just seems to me that they're operating on two different sides of intentional comedy, maybe. You know, I think Kanojo Got Flag may be a little bit more clever than we're actually realizing in some cases, but I think you have to be much more fully devoted to the Ellen market to be able to get most of it. Brunhilde also seems to be trying to delve into this intentional goofy comedy in a way, but not really doing it very well.
Yeah, every time when the girls melt, I start laughing. It looks very comical looking. It's
especially
like
Looney Tunes. Because, she was talking fully and expressing guilt and remorse as she was melting. And she melted this little tiny little baby doll. I kept on expecting her to talk. It's like, I'm still here. I'm still melting. God, this sucks.
That's what I was waiting
for. You go on without me. Remember, I kissed him first.
Quick, get the bucket. I'm still alive. Oh, God.
Going back through the list. Oh, go ahead.
Back team, please. That'll save everything.
Dragon R Academy was C-sections, or I feel like C-station. I didn't get that studio names right.
C-station.
C-station. Not C-section. Goodness. That was our first show. How did that turn out?
You go ahead.
Generic fantasy done as generic fantasy with some perks here and there. It had all the potential to be really fun and original, but it just kind of played it safe, I think, in the adaptation of it too much. It's really weird because you get those fantasy shows like that, which can really bust it out, but kind of play it safe on their first season. If I remember correctly, Familiar Zero kind of started off in a safe zone and then got progressively okay, better. That's a conditional better, but it got better than the first series most assuredly. And I think that's what they're trying to maybe hoping for with this one. They've got a stage set, they got all the basics down. There's this triangle between Ash, Echo, and Sylvia going on. We're going to exploit that later on. There's most definitely a hate triangle between these three countries or these three opposing forces. And we'll exploit that later on. It felt like that they were doing a much more of a beginning than a whole complete story.
Yeah, for me, it was like I was watching the episodes going, can you pull more from King Arthur, please? Pull more from that story, please. Where's Merlin? Where's all the other characters?
Pull an awful lot from Celtic myth, I can tell you.
Yeah,
that
they
much.
Did. Got Excalibur. I'm like, okay, yeah, I see that. That's great. But
Kjellbog.
The only one I cared about actually liking that was Echo, and even that wasn't enough to keep me watching. I still blogged it, but it was like a trick, it was very hard to get through for me anyway. I was bored.
It was kind of like a favor from you to me, wasn't it?
Yeah, sort of. Yep.
Let's see. We have Atelier here. Nobody even did first impressions of it. Nah. I guess it was just some fluff.
It's very slow.
I remember in chat I mentioned earlier how, like, seasons ago, Hayate Cuties was my perfect excuse for a 15-minute nap. Yep, that was Atelier. That was, you know, I was fairly well rested after 8 episodes.
Let's see. Dime a Dollar was dumb. Mangaka-san, I guess some people enjoyed
that. That was very funny. Mangaka-san.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Mushishi, this season, Overcooled Blog Dap, is another nice season. It was pretty interesting that this season felt more to me than the first season. Like, Ginko was just our guide through Japan. I believe I said that on previous podcasts before, and that we didn't get that much of Ginko's personality or his decisions infused into the series, except for that one episode where that guy was cutting off heads to keep his daughter alive for, you know, several hundred years. That was probably the most harrowing story, probably the best story in my opinion. Let me see here. Nana's Buried Treasure apparently was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked that one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for the most part.
Soul Eater Not, I guess that was fun.
Not really.
Oh, no? Okay.
Really? It was one of those things that I kind of enjoyed just basically more or less relaxing into. You know, after the first two episodes, you kind of got that this is what you're going to get. And uh-huh. you just might as well just kick back, relax, and see what these two girls get up to.
Yeah, plus, that part was okay.
I mean, they sang at pumpkins.
I mean, I was interested in seeing how they would take a popular shonen and turn it into like a slice of life moe with some action thrown in. And it almost makes me think, like, you know, if Bleach ever does that in the future one day, or, you know, One Piece, you can get a spinoff with a female crew that, you know, they're young girls. But yeah, it was interesting, but it kind of drags on to while you're like, okay, just get through it already.
And then The World Is Still Beautiful, which just ended earlier, prior to this recording. I enjoyed the start of the series and the end of the series. I thought the middle point was just okay. We were just kind of meeting some other people, Nikkei getting used to the Sun Kingdom, but I really liked the end with the Return to the Rain Kingdom, the Principality of Rain, and all of the drama there, and I liked seeing the romance form between Nikkei and Livy. That was really good, and nice to see a definite couple by the end of the series.
Yeah, I would say one show which we kind of blocked was this is just the Order of the Rabbit. I like that. This girl's working at a cafe. Every girl just has a, you know, a fun personality, and when they're all together, it's like you can't stop watching them. It's fun.
Super fluffy. All right, so let's move on to our last point for discussion, which is our own talking points. Anything about this season that we haven't yet talked about, or just things we liked, etc., etc. Hoshi, you have a point.
Not really. I didn't really like spring season that much. There was really nothing for me, except maybe Haikyuu and a Selector Infected, but to me it was kind of disappointing. Like, I was already excited for summer, like the second week of spring. I was like, okay, I want it to be summer now so I can watch all these other shows that I know are going to be good, and everything else was kind of disappointing.
Okay, yeah, I know a lot of people look forward to spring and fall, but apparently thought this spring was just
Usually I like spring is usually when all my favorite shows come out, but this time I was like, no, there's nothing, except Haikyuu was like my shining show. Like, okay, this is the only one that I like other than Selector Infected.
So dudes playing volleyball.
Yep.
Skyline,
nothing that I feel other than, you know, it was absolutely terrific for this to be my debut season at Metanorn.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
And I came, one of my first podcasts I came in on for spring was introducing it. And now one of the last ones I'll do for spring is saying goodbye to it. So there you go.
Nice.
You jumped from commenter to blogger / commenter. Fosh, any... Or not, actually, I can see what your point is, so I'll go ahead first. I'll talk about the sports shows that aired this season, premiered this season. I didn't watch Yowapeda yet. I will at some point. But I thought all of the sports shows were very good, and they're very different in their own way. I talked about how Ping Pong is really not a sports anime. They're not very technical. They talk a little bit about the way they hold the paddle, but for the most part, they don't talk about the technicalities of the sports. It's all about character development. So in that sense, it isn't exactly a sports anime in the way that the other two shows are. And on the opposite of that is Baby Steps, which is a very technical sports anime because you have a guy who's very skilled at note-taking and recognizing what happens in a game, that he takes notes on it and he uses that to his advantage. You know, much like the sports heroes we talked about earlier, not very strong, not immensely talented. It's not like, you know, we have an anime where we're following LeBron James's career, you know, it's like the supreme talent.
Right.
But that one in the game of tennis is very technical, so it's interesting in that sense for people that do like sports and do like tennis, is that they would like that. And then Haikyuu is kind of that hybrid where it's about sports and it's about playing the game of volleyball well and learning to block and ace and set and such, but also it's just a good anime for the characters. It kind of reminds me a bit of Okiku Furikabete with the baseball series with Ren Mihashi and his catcher Abe. The relationship is a bit similar there, where Abe is kind of pushing Mihashi maybe a little bit too far, where Kageyama wants to trust Hinata, but sometimes he pushes him, he gets too angry, which is really funny sometimes when Hinata says something and Kageyama just stares at him, stares into his soul.
I was saying all three of them have nets. I just realized that.
How
oh my god. Mind blown right there. But I also say one thing with Baby Steps that kind of catches me off guard. Some of the background characters, they're CGI.
Oh,
and
yeah. It's so weird.
Some of the characters themselves, like the noses, I just can't stop staring at the faces. Like, I don't know. This design choice just bugs me.
Are you talking about, like, that one dude that calls him bro all the time?
Yeah, he looks like a Muppet. I'm like, what the hell is going on with this guy's face?
I keep
face?
Thinking that's, like, Bert of Bert.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then the coach has got that beak as a nose. I'm is he a bird? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the main kid, that little buzzsaw in his hair. I'm like, I can't stop staring at his hair. It's like,
yeah.
I just want to reach in the screen, just pull it. Like, you know, it's just...
Well, Baby Steps hasn't focused on this too much.
Right.
It would be nice if they would, is that they actually have a female character who's striving to be the best at the sport with Takasaki Natsu. You don't see that too much in these sports animes where have a guy and a girl character that are striving to be the best. But hopefully they follow her at some point in the anime.
Right.
That would be good.
I have a friend that recommended me a manga. It's about water polo. It's a co-ed sport in that world.
Okay.
So it's very fan servicey though. So I could probably link it in the comments. But
right, so yeah, shouldn't take it too seriously.
It's very, I feel like the Tularu type of topless things in yet. So it's like that. That's what I've been told.
All right, and Fosh, onto your talking point now.
Mine would be, what do you guys think would be the best show of the summer? I mean, since we're going into that, like in what, a week?
Yeah.
I mean, like your predictions on what's going to be the number one talked about series.
Obviously,
there's a
free.
Lot to choose from. Yeah, free. I'm going all that. I'm all about that. That's good.
Love it.
Oh, no.
Actually, there's a lot of manga that I've read. Tokyo Ghoul is, I already read it. I don't know my volume, but that one I have the most hope for because even in the trailers, it looks absolutely like amazing, the animation. And I know the story is amazing, so if they do it right, it's going to be just awesome. Like, I'm so excited for this. And then Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun.
Oh, yeah.
That one, I would say I wouldn't say the best because it's a four coma, and while it's actually a really funny four coma because there's so many characters and they're all really like weird, but when they usually animate four coma, it gets kind of iffy because, you know, it's like sections, and I've already like A channel, like I didn't like the anime that much because just the way they did it was kind of weird, and I didn't think it was as funny as it was reading it. So that's the only my iffy part. Like, I don't know how they're gonna animate this one. So sorry.
I'm trying to think. Like, Akame ga Kill seems like a big one that a lot of people will be talking about because it's a popular manga. It has a pretty good studio behind it, White Fox. I'm kind of curious about that. Like, White Fox, they're a good group and they're faithful to the source content, but animation wise that's not their strength. There's other studios that I think are much better with the actual animation than White Fox, so I'm kind of interested to see how they animate what basically is a shonen manga.
Yeah, I've read about the first 25 chapters of it, and there's a lot of fighting that takes place, and yeah, I'm curious about that too, but I've seen the biggest complaint from that series so far, just based off looking at Mal, the characters. Some of them are just really, very brightly colored, and that's kind of throwing people off. Like, this one girl, her whole color scheme is all purple and pink, so it's like, as an assassin, I mean, we're thinking, okay, dark clothes, you know, blacks and reds, bright pink kind of throws you off, but anime characters don't really do that, you know, too much for the characters.
Well, she's obviously an assassin from this board.
I guess so, yeah. For me, I think
it's natural to wear all pinks and purples.
The surprise hit might be Aldo Zero because it's, you know, Genny Uchibuchi doing his thing he always does with all his shows. And this time he's actually, you know, doing the scripts and everything. So I'm looking at that, but knowing my luck, you know, because it's mechs, people usually overlook that. So I could see it being like Glass Slip or even, I don't know.
Like, I do think with Aldo Zero, the fact that Uchibuchi Gen is writing it has a lot of buzz around it, because when he writes a series, people know he's writing a series and they're very interested to see it, how it turns out. Even Gargantia, where ultimately it seems like he wasn't as involved with as the other shows.
Right.
Of course, Sword Art Online's going to be the big one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
For me, it might be a make or break season because I like the first game. Didn't like the second game, which I think some people kind of feel the same way. And then it's with Log Horizon that I like so much that I'm worried that's going to dwarf any possible enjoyment that I would have watching Sword Art Online 2.
Yeah. I mean, even people are talking bad about it, people are still talking about it. Yeah. So it'll probably be the most talked about series, I think, of the next season. Yeah,
That seems to be the biggest competition. Who can trash talk Sword Art Online the most?
Yeah, it's gonna be that one. Yeah.
It's like, you know, or who can drop it the earliest? I mean, I'm hearing that there are people who have dropped it already.
What I like is when the blogosphere, how they take Sword Art Online and they've done so many things different with it. Like, the one guy did the karaoke songs about it, so he did all these songs about each episode, and people would come in and sing it, or he would do like fan fiction of the episodes.
Awesome,
or, you
awesome.
Know, Shinmaru would do the guess the dumb, and you just guess what the dumb part of the episode was. I got a vote, a poll, whatever. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to take a lot of creative edges to that, because Sword Art Online is kind of that joke of, you know, the anime community.
Yeah. Skyline, any thoughts on the summer season?
One is going to be big, like you said, is Sword Art Online. You know, make it or break it, that's going to be very, very much talked about. And it is a two-core show, so it's got a heck of a steamroller factor to it. The one I'm personally looking forward to the most is going to be Prisma Ilya, because it'll be fun to see what Silver Link will once again turn some really good material into an even better anime when you get right down to it.
Right. I'm also looking at Zanku the New Terror, too, that might get a lot of buzz as well.
Yeah.
That's it's very popular.
That looks like they basically more or less said, okay, edgy, can we do edgy? Can we spell it with all caps? Bold, can we? And it just kind of went from there.
And can we get close to a certain event in history that you know, with characters named 9 and 12 without going too overboard.
Too soon?
Yeah, maybe. That's the only thing I think of when I see the artwork for the cover art. But yeah, I can see that being a popular series because animation style, music. Mm-hmm. It's got all the people.
Shinichiro Watanabe.
Yeah, I think directing. It's got people from all Bebop on there, I think. Like the Yoko Kanno, too, I think, is on it.
Oh, nice.
I think. Yeah, she's on there, too. So, you know, it's got a lot going for it. So, it's going
to
be interesting.
Oh,
season,
and as I mentioned a little earlier, I'm looking forward to see what they can do with Hana Yamata. Just because that's got, I mean, that's the director from Sakura, so No Game, No Life behind it. That's the person that wrote the series composition for the first K-On! Series and for Girls and Panzers, which was just expertly done as far as the writing was considered. And it's got that nice madhouse charm to it, other than the, you know, magical warfare madhouse charm behind it.
Don't tell Highway.
When Madhouse just used to be that studio that would do the dark stuff, like Claymore or whatnot, those kind of violent series, but then they kind of branched out a little bit there, like, you know, Photocon, I was like, wait, that's a Madhouse show? And then there was No Game, No Life, and now Hana Yamata, which is a dancing show? What is it exactly?
It's a traditional Japanese dance of sorts. Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of studios are doing that, breaking out of their comfort zone. Like JC Staff did with Lacrosse, and they don't really do a lot of dark shows. For me, that was the first dark show I've seen that they may ever do. And like Gainax did that, what Melody show about girls using guns, C3. So it's like a lot of studios are kind of experimenting, especially Kill Annie with Free. You know, they're going out, that's kind of way out of their, near their expertise area.
Opposite of Melody.
Right, yeah.
I have one person I know who watched the first couple of episodes of Free, and I'll be talking with him tomorrow on Anime Talk about this stuff, and he was just like, Kyoto Animation gave me another club anime, so what?
Alright, and that's been our discussion, and thus episode 43 of the Metaverse Podcast. Thank you for listening. Some programming notes for Metanorden. By the time you're listening to this, hopefully you've already seen it, but if not, the summer 2014 anime preview is out. Fosh and Hoshi and Skyline have written some stuff for it, and along with the rest of the team. Good job on the preparation and the presentation, as always. And over the next couple of weeks, there will be plenty of first impressions posts from these people and more. On the summer season. For the mini talk stuff, as I mentioned during the JoJo mini talk, we'll be doing those seasonally. We won't be doing them weekly. And the upcoming mini talk series will be All Noah Zero with Fosh and I and Kyokai whenever she's able to come. So that'll be interesting to talk about the Butcher Gen series. Captain Earth will continue in the summer season. And then the next time on the Metaverse Podcast, episode 44, which will hopefully be recorded on July 19th, we'll be having our Summer 14 views where we talk more about the shows after having seen some episodes instead of just sort of having some ideas now about what we think will be good and what we think will suck, etc., etc., etc. So thank you, Fosh. Thank you, Hoshi. Thank you, Sky.
See you later.
You're welcome.
Later.
On the Metaverse Podcast.
She